I was gonna say, just go ahead and include it, man. Forget it. Hey, this is Chris Bragg. We're just having a good time. This is how we do. This is my podcast. I hope you guys are tuning in, pouring a drink, sit back, relax. We're gonna have a wild ride. This is Isaac Castillo. He's an Army veteran. He has a good time just as well as I am. We're both dads. It's Father's Day weekend, and we're just gonna talk about our life.
And there's your intro. What's up, everybody? How's it going? My name is Chris Bragg. And this is Brag Out Loud with the aforementioned Isaac Castillo. Isaac, what's going on, man? How you doing?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Apparently not as good as you. You got the intro down for my own show. Much better than I did.
Man, we're just two friends having a good time. It's Father's Day weekend, like you said. All we want to do, man, like is just live life. Be fathers, be husbands, and be damn good at what do to life. You know, we're blue collar people. What more do we want is other than to provide for our families and provide for ourselves?
You know, the old saying, living the dream, and that's really what we're doing, man. You know, raising families. I've got four teenagers, and a lot of you know, you've got teenagers as well. We were just talking before we went on the air here about raising daughters and how much different they are than raising sons.
Oh, Jesus Christ, man. I'll tell you what. Oh, man. If I would have known that when I was a teenager that I was going to be raising a daughter, I might not have done the half the stuff I did when I was a teenager. Because now she has a perfect playbook of what to look out for and what not to look out for. But then again, as you look at it, you're like, am I doing a good thing? I hope I am. What is the next playbook? Because I'm not in that playbook, and she has her own life. My daughter's 15. She has her own life. She has her own friends. And I've come to the realization that I, as a father, have got to maybe take a step back and try to play coach from the sideline versus being, like, co-captain out there on the field. But at the same time, I've come to realize that being a coach on the sideline isn't that bad. Because if you have gotten to that certain point in her life and your life to where she's asking you certain advice and she's thinking about you constantly as a father and as a daughter, then I've known I've done everything I could in my power up until this point that I'm raising a good human being that's not breaking the law, that's not being morally compromised and being open-minded with what's going on in today's society and is bringing in good grades and making good decisions and doing the best, being the best daughter that she can and being the best person that she can on this earth. Because me and you, we're only here on earth for such a short period of time, and I just want to make sure that as myself, I'm doing the best that I can. And that's all aspects of life. And I think that's all we want as husbands, as fathers, as members of community, just trying to make sure that we're not only a blip, but just kind of something that's a little bit more.
And that's what it's all about, is just, you know, finding that delicate balance. You know, you want to be their friend, but you also wanted to be their a parent, you know, fair but firm type thing. And yeah definitely, raising teenagers. And what I find is, yes, I remember it wasn't, I don't like to think it was that long ago when I was in their shoes, and now I understand the frustration that my parents had, because I understand what these kids are going through, or at least somewhat I have a good idea because I've been through it, and they don't think I do know what I'm talking about, because we're parents, they're teenagers, they know it all. What do the parents know? And it's frustrating because you know what's going on, you see what's coming, and a lot of times they're just too darn stubborn to heed your warning. And it's a fun ride. It's definitely a roller coaster. It's a fun ride. The highs are highs. The lows, unfortunately, can be low sometime. But you know, for the most part, you know, you keep those as level as possible. And while I miss the infant and toddler stage where they're all cute and cuddly, I wouldn't trade anything for my 14 teenagers right now.
No, I wouldn't either. And that's the thing. We get to a certain age to where we start seeing their development as far as young adulthood, as I like to call it. When they reach high school, mid-high school, late high school, you know, I got a 19-year-old, and he's working currently at Chick-fil-A at Gulfstream, and I'm very proud of him because when I entered his life, he was 10 years old, and or nine, sorry, nine, and I brought him up into what he is currently, and I taught him what it is to be a responsible adult. And trying to do that, you see some of the mistakes that they make, and some of the mistakes that you made, like you had previously said, to where they know it all, they think they know it all, and then they retract to where like they're like, holy cow, oh my god, I'm so sorry. Click that.
We're live, baby.
I've been drinking Savannah River Brewing Company, Savannah River IPA. If you guys haven't tried it, it's good. It's 7% alcohol volume. I'm not giving the shout out, but I'm giving the shout out. It's a real good brewery. If anybody's like to brew IPA, try it. Food Line right there in Point Winworth. Grab a sixer. You'll have a good time. Anyway.
I'm going to have to try that because I haven't. I've been looking for a new beer to try, so I'll give that one a shot.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, my wife has a hard time keeping up with what I want to try because I'm a beer connoisseur. I don't have just one set of beer that I go to. It's not like it's going to be Bud Light or Budweiser or Michelob Ultra. It's always going to be something different with every week. She's like, do you need anything? I'm out in the store. And I'm like, well, yeah, hey. Can you pick me up of this? And she was like, I've never heard that before. I'm like, well, this is what you're looking for. screenshot the label, send it to her. And she scores. And most of the time she does score. And I'm very grateful for that. But that's dude, awesome, like I said, with it being Father's Day, man, weekend, and I'm gonna tell you, I was so humbled today because so my kids are not my kids. I adopted my kids October 31st, 2013. And not a lot of people understand or not a lot of people know that. But their biological dad did not want to step up. And myself being absent without a father whose grandfather raised him and uncles raised him, I found an opportunity. I wouldn't say it was my goal. I found an opportunity to where I could raise a positive influence on the community. And that's what I tried to do with my kids. They call me dad. They know I'm not their biological father. However, to see them succeed, not only in the community, but as far as what they do in school, It really humbles me. So when I stayed home today, I was working on some voiceovers, and I got some gifts, and I'm like, oh, shoot, are you serious? You guys got me gifts? You guys didn't have to. I'm very humble. I'm like, you guys didn't have to. I'm good. Just doing what you guys do, you make me proud enough. So they got me cards, teared up. They got me gifts. So we watched Mandalorian all season. And my oldest son.
You haven't seen that yet?
No, I have seen it. So we watched all season.
Oh, you watched it again?
Yeah, we watched all season.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
So my son got, yeah, I love it. Oh my God. So so our saying is, give me my chicken nuggies and my drinky drink. That is our saying. So with that being said, my oldest son, who's 19, got me a Baby Yoda stuffed animal and a card. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so freaking awesome. Then I got a blankie of Baby Yoda. And I'm like, oh, it's fleece. It's so awesome. And this is what I'm saying, guys. When you are this old, you're 41, your kids are older, and they bring you all of these gifts, you know you got to do. You've, you've got to stay a kid because we're only here on Earth for such a short period of time. You've got to enjoy life and every single moment, because if not, you're going to look back when you're 80 and you're going to be like, where in the hell did my life go? And this is the pivotal moment to where you look, you take a hold of life and you're like, yes, I've done everything I need to. I'm a milestone in the kid's life. They look up to me, not only as a person, but as a role model. And that's exactly as parents, we try to strive to be role models, because we don't want some celebrity out there who doesn't know a God blessing thing about what's going on, who's on the ground level, doesn't know what's going on in the world society. We want to see it from ground level. We try to be positive in everything we do. So when my kids brought me the blanket, my kids brought me t-shirts, you know, I'm a huge Georgia fan, huge Georgia Bulldog fan, especially being a native Texan. It meant so much to me to where I posted it on Instagram, I posted it on Facebook, and I'm like, God, you know, I can't be more humble than this. Because in all actuality, I can't.
Yeah. That's one thing I've always wanted to know was, how does an Aggie, and that's even in your Instagram name, how does your Aggie become such a Bulldog fan? I mean, I got, you know, nothing but love for you, brother, but I'm just wondering how that came about.
So what it was is when I moved down here, when I was stationed down here at Hunter Army Airfield in 2002, and finally got out in 2004, there was nothing but Georgia. And I'm like, all right, there's got to be someone with Georgia. So progressed through 2010, current life, and that's all we watched was Georgia football, and Texas A&M was not shown. Now, with that being said, my uncle graduated from Texas A&M. And he's an architect. I'm trying not to name drop, but he is well known in the architecture ground, and not only that, but in Columbia University, which is New York, he's a professor. Sorry, God me. He's a professor. Summertime, and he's an Aggie, and I always wanted to be an Aggie until I met my current wife, whose father is a Bulldog fan. So when A&M beat Alabama with Johnny Manziel, I was like, oh my God, yeah, A&M's gonna go. And then she kept talking about Georgia. And I, you know, I went to Border of the Bash, which is in Augusta. And it's nothing but Georgia and South Carolina fans. And that's all they do. Here I am wearing my Texas A&M stuff. And I'm seeing the fashion. And I'm seeing all this stuff. And I'm like, Jesus, man. Okay, there's got to be something special. What is up with it, right? I know Georgia won the national championship with Herschel Walker in 1980. So I'm a history buff. I was like, okay, that's a lot, just by A&M. So they are really grounded. Okay. And my wife's like, hey, so it being off season, have you ever thought about transferring from Texas A&M to Georgia? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm not even enrolled in school. And she's like, well, I'm talking about being a fan. And I'm like, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. So I posted on Facebook. I was like, you know what? I have declared open recruitment from Texas A&M to open Southeastern ACC conferences universities. So what do you guys have to offer? And my friends were like, hey, this is what Clemson has. This is what South Carolina has. This is what Georgia has. This is all these other things. This is what Georgia Southern has. And I'm like, okay, all right. So I ended up, you know, like I said, I have a lot of friends that were Bulldog fans and married through Georgia University. So I actually got to meet one of the players that played with Georgia University. And his uncle and aunt were at Black Creek Golf Club, where I used to work. They're members out there. And I ran into him. He used to be a teammate of Patrick Reed. I'm not going to say his name. He's on the tour right now. And I talked to him. I said, hey, man, how's it like? How's it like being a Georgia? How's it like being a Georgia player? And he was like, man, I love it. There's none on earth I wouldn't do. And I was like, you know, I said, you know, I'm coming from from Texas. I'm a native Texan. I'm an Aggie fan. He's like, and I'm like, you know, kind of opening up to trying to change fan base. And he was like, oh, Georgia's the way to go. And he was like, I was like, okay, well then why? So he sold me on it. I'm like, you know, okay. So I closed So before the football season, I closed it out like I was actually being recruited from Georgia.
National signing day for Isaac Castillo.
Yeah, that's national signing day. And here I am, like, I officially commit to the University of Georgia. And my family went ballistic. They're like, oh, my God, you didn't choose University of Texas. Your uncle's going to disown you. Blah blah blah, and then my wife, you know, she was like, oh my god, I'm so glad. And my other friends are like, oh, we're gonna have such a great time, blah blah blah. And then I just, you know what, I love being a Bulldog, man. Transferring from, and I can't believe I'm saying this like a damn football player, like I'm actually doing it. And people are gonna be like, oh my god, he jumped ship. If no fan does that, bull crap. I did it. Tough luck. You don't like it? Kiss my grits, plain and simple. You live in Georgia, you drive by Georgia, plain and simple.
Well, if it's a city consolation, it makes you feel any better. You act like a Georgian, so.
I know, right?
You're right at home.
And this is one thing that I've learned so much about Georgia. And what I learned living, coming from Texas is that Georgians have a sense of not only entitlement, but a sense of brotherhood, sisterhood, hope, everything else, of roots being established here. And everybody's like, I love the red clay of Georgia. Oh, cool. I love the hill country of Texas. I mean, so there's always something to brag about of Georgia, Texas. They love each other's states. They love Georgia's always going to be for the red state because that's what it is, red clay. Texas is known for the hill country, beef, cattle. I can go on to the Alamo. Oh, my God. I was nicknamed the Alamo Kid in middle school and elementary, and God, I remember that day. But anyway, going on. Jesus, now I'm just rambling. But I'm having a good time, man. There's no other place. That there's no other place I'd rather be. If he was Texas, it's gonna be Georgia all the way. Lakes, rivers, you got the sea. Texas got the same damn thing. You got lakes, rivers. You know, you can float down the Frio River, Guadalupe River, Texas. You can float down. You can go to Helen, Georgia, and you can float down the river too. Tybee, Jekyll Island, Kingsland, wherever you want to go, there's ocean out here. You know, you're only. God, man, Savannah is just so rich in history, and those who don't want to see it are you're blind. There's so much history in the South, just rooted here in Savannah, to where I understand what's going on, but if you don't open your eyes, you're gonna be freaking blinded.
No, you're absolutely right, man. So, dial back the clock a little bit. You spent, during your time in the Army, you actually spent some time in Afghanistan, correct?
Yeah, that was the first contract job I got when I was in the Army. So
you never went overseas in early 2000s when you first enlisted?
I did.
Okay.
I enlisted in the Army in 1998 out of San Antonio, Texas, and my last 2 years was here in Savannah at Hunter Army Airfield, man. That was some good times. And some of the guys I was stationed with out there actually work with me at Gulfstream. And we talk about some of the good times and just the things we went through. And if anybody's ever donned on the uniforms, you know how it is to go out drinking on a Thursday night. You're well off. It's 3 o'clock in the morning, knowing that you got to show up for PT at 5:30, and you're leaning against your brother or sister in arms who went out drinking with you, and you're chilling and you're like, you got me? Yeah, I got you. You got me? Yeah, we're good. We're good. How much you drink? Oh man. And then you go on a battalion run, a brigade run, division run, whatever it was, and you're running. And the next thing you know, you have somebody that's like three or four rows back, like, oh my God, somebody smells like a damn distillery. And knowing the fact that you and your brother and sister went out doing shots to the damn break, and you're the reason why that second lieutenant, first lieutenant, or warrant officer is back there like gagging. it brings a tear to your eye because you're like, yes, I caused that. Yes. But
be proud, yeah, man. Be proud.
Yeah, be proud. No, man, my first deployment under a uniform was here at Hunter during Operation Iraqi Freedom 1 when we invaded Iraq. And I was with 603rd Aviation Support Battalion with Specialist Velasquez, Specialist Constantino, Staffs, Sergeant First Class Dexter, Sergeant First Class Lazar. We were part of a battle damage aircraft recovery team, and we were attached to 3rd BCT, 3rd Aviation Brigade. And whoever was first up there, that's who we were attached to, and that's who we rode with. And, man, I'll tell you what, there was a lot of stories and a lot of memories that Hollywood can even write a story about. Pulling out CASAVACs and pulling out EPWs and pulling out civilians that were wounded gave you sense of purpose, gave you a sense of pride of what you were doing when you were wearing that uniform. And we deployed Super Bowl Sunday, January 26, 2003, and we got back July 10, 2003, and tattooed on my right half with 3rd Infantry Division patch. And I'm proud of my service, very proud of what we did out there. However, with that being said, man, there's a lot of things that I wish that weren't kept in the dark. That, but I understand why things need to be kept in the dark as far as that. You know, I'm not a politician. I don't know everything. I'm not a general. I'm just a blue-collar guy that enjoys drinking beer as a family man that shoots rivets, buck rivets, drills holes on a daily basis that is trying to make it in this world. And I just, you know, just like every red-blooded American, you know, we're proud of our country, even though despite our country is relatively young. We're just over 200 years old, you know, just, well, what is it? You want to do the math, people are probably going, it's 225 plus, moron. Okay, cool, whatever. Whatever the damn years are, that's what it is. I'm not a damn mathematician. I'm just here sitting, I'm damn drinking beer, talking to you, talking to you through a mic. My $40 mic.
So, well, there you go, there you go.
Yeah. so, dude, I'm not just some Joe Blow. I am just Joe Blow, but damn.
You ate Joe Blow, your ads at Castillo. Life. And we're back. Had a little bit of a technical difficulty there, but we are back. So I think before the break, somebody is shooting off fireworks.
Man. Hey, that's great, man. Hey, that's more power to them. Hope they're enjoying their time. I mean, that's like I said, man. That's all we're here on Earth for is to have a good time.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good right there. I wonder what kind those are, man. Jesus.
I don't know. Our neighbor straight across the street. They love shooting off fireworks. I'm assuming that's who it is. So
hell yeah, man. Just take a 12 pack over there, 12 sixer, and say, hey man, what y'all got going? Yeah. Speaking of
fireworks, before the break, you were talking about your enlistment, your time in the Army, and then going over to, I guess it was the Iraqi war. Went to Iraq or Afghanistan? Where did you go?
I went to Iraq when I was in the uniform, and be honest with you, man, I tell you what, like I said before, you know, Hollywood couldn't even script it, what I saw and what I experienced. A lot of stress, a lot of things that I wish I never saw as young as I was. I just, in the stories, I remember we were pulling a captain out, a Marine captain out, and he had lost his whole platoon in a firefight, and they were all in a building, and he was the only one that survived. And his face was shot up, his body was shot up, and he was wounded. We were able to stabilize him. Doc was able to stabilize him, and we sent him back. And then I remember an EPW. We were pulling off an EPW, and we had brought him in, and we set him on the horses, and the horses. What people call the horses, it's just a regular horses that anybody uses to cut pieces of wood. That's what we use to stabilize the stretchers and to keep them level. And the EPW didn't make it. We had put them off to the side, and we had put a blanket over them. And us as combatants, man, we said a prayer for him, and we didn't, life right there. It took in a, backseat, because this was, I had then just kind of, looked at it as this life was taken by one of ours or one of his, and we didn't know the end result was going to be, and being humanitarians first and foremost, we try to save his life, of course, but in the end he succumbed to his injuries, and that's what it was. And it's sad, because part of life, we go through life, we don't want to end our life prematurely, but at the same time, God does not, we don't know what God's plan for us are. We don't. We can take a step out of the tub and trip, break our neck, and next thing you know, we're on life support in ICU. Or we could have a horrible accident and just walk out unscathed. We do not know when our next day is, but all we know is we're only here for such a short period of time. I got a tattoo in Pittsburgh recently that says Memento Mori. And for me, that means remember death. Remember your death. And we don't know when our life is going to be cut short. And I have a saying, live each moment like it was our last, and live each day like it meant to be forever. So hug those who love us and just appreciate everything that we are here and we are meant to be intended for one another. And that is my whole outlook on life, leaving Iraq, and has been. And Afghanistan didn't come until after I was out of the military, man. I had gotten laid off from actually working there at Hunter. I had gotten out of the military in October 2004, and I remember, man, and the funny thing is the guy who told me I wouldn't get out is the same guy that is working at Gulfstream currently. And he told me, he's like, man, you ain't going to get out. You ain't going to get out. Because the military had ordered a stop loss. And I'm like, man, you full of crap. I already have a job lined up. I'm getting out. And he's like, no, you ain't. I said, watch me. And being a cocky E4 who has like less than a month to leave, he has served 6 years honorably, who's done his job, who has done everything he needed to do, and then some. You're not going to tell me what I am going to do. I'm going to make sure I form my own way, and you're going to see it come to fruition, and you're going to take a step. You're going to take a back seat to it, enjoy and watch the ride, and I hope your ass doesn't get chewed out by it, because it will in the end. Lo and behold, I got pulled into the first sergeant's office, and my first sergeant's like, why did you do what you did? And I'm like, because this asshole right here said I wasn't going to be doing it, and I wanted to prove him wrong, so you need to be looking at him and not at me. And my first sergeant knew I was a straight shooter. He knew I didn't put up with anything, and I was going to be what I was going to be, and I was going to do what I needed to do within the regulations. And sure enough, I beat him to his own game. I had went to a senator, congressman, and said, hey, I have this problem. My platoon sergeant said I was going to get out. I already have a job lined up, making three times as much. Here's my paperwork. Here's my offer letter, blah, blah, blah. It's there at Hunter, and this is when I start. He looked at it, followed it up. He said, I got you. I said, okay. Sure enough, like I said, a couple of days later, I got pulled in my first sergeant's office. What I didn't realize is that when I went to that congressman, it was going to go to the division commander and work its way down.
Wow.
Now, with that being said, yeah, was I ballsy? Absolutely. Did I want to get out? Oh, hell yeah, because I was done. And nobody was going to tell me I needed to extend my obligation. I don't give a shit. Don't care. Call me a coward. Don't give a damn. I had an opportunity to make three times as much. Kiss my ass, blah, blah, blah. Anyway. Look, when you get told something you're not going to do, what you're going to do, what you have planned to do, you're going to do what you're going to do. And that's exactly what I did. So I went to the job and we got laid off because the redeploying unit had gotten voluntarily extended. So I needed another job. And I went with this company who, guess what, was going to redeploy that unit that had gotten extended. Tell me about it. So I ended up working for that unit that got it extended, and only worked there for 6 months. And then I got a job at Gulfstream in 2005. And I worked there until 2011. And I'm glad I'm back. So
that's where our paths first crossed, because I started there in 2008. So I'm sure we met up. It was probably 2008, 2009. I think, pretty quickly. And we hit it off pretty well. Both big fans of mixed martial arts and boxing. I think was probably one of our first conversations, right?
Misha Tate. Oh, my God. Jesus Christ.
So you're one of our... You know, I got to thank you because you're one of the biggest supporters of the Ultimate Fight Show with myself and Larry Cassano. It was our first podcast.
Yeah.
I did. And I'll never forget. I was so excited when we booked Misha Tate. We were like two or three weeks in. Misha Tate was one of the top female MMA fighters at the time. She was a strike force. And
a little bit
of a crush there from you, babe.
Dude, man, I tell you what. I still follow her on Facebook and Instagram, man.
Yeah.
God dang, man. That, I tell you, that she, when she came on The Ultimate Fighter with Ronda Rousey because Kat Zingano was unable to fulfill her plan, I was ecstatic for Misha Tate, man. I was like, oh my God, yes, are you kidding me? Because when I left Gulfstream, I went back to Kuwait, did some contracting work, and then moved to Augusta. And I followed her, and I took pictures of, because back then, her name was Misha Cupcake Tate.
Yep.
It was not Takedown Tate, it was Cupcake. And I took all these pictures of all these cupcakes, and I remember it was around Christmas time. I took a picture of a cupcake that was at the Augusta Mall, and she had liked it. I'm like, oh my God, like I was ultimately fanboying because an Ultimate Fighter, especially a female, had liked one of my, and I'm like, oh my God, yeah. Dude, I don't give a damn. I don't care if you are not an Ultimate Fighter fan, if you are just some boy who has an ego, is like, man, I don't give a damn about it. Dude, hell no. When Misha Tate likes one of your posts, you're going to be like, yes, I am. She liked one of my posts. I don't give a damn. It'd be like Dale Earnhardt liking one of your Instagram posts of him crossing the finish line or something.
Right.
That right there was a feather in my cap. And yeah, it was, oh my God, I remember it was like, her name is Misha. Her name.
Yeah.
Misha, man, that was good because times, man. Good times.
She was a great friend of the Ultimate Fight Show. She came on quite a few times with us. She actually made a cupcake for one of our birthdays on the Ultimate Fight Show, so that was awesome for us. But
that's awesome.
I remember saying, "Hey Isaac, guess who we got coming on this week?" He's like, "Misha,
Misha." I remember that. And that was a problem. That was the thing I was going through my ex-wife. I remember that because I was going through that that thing with my ex-wife in 2009 and 2010. And, man, I was just so all over the place with everything. And then she was like, you were like, and I'm like, oh, my God, yes, I cannot wait. And I'm like a robot. And I'm like, I cannot wait to hear her voice.
Well, I'm glad we could provide that to you. And Misha, if you're listening, congratulations on your new baby. You just had a couple of days ago.
Oh, my God, yes.
You are always a great friend of the Ultimate Fight Show. You've got an open invitation to come on Brag Out Loud anytime you'd like.
I'd love to talk about
the China MMA scene. So, hey, there you go. I'm throwing it out there. What does it hurt, right?
God dang, man. I swear to God, if she came on, oh, my God. Oh, that would be freaking amazing if she came on again. Oh, dude, that would.
Because she's really, ultimately, she's a really cool person as well. She's a great fighter.
Yeah, she is. Yeah.
She is a really cool person as well. But I appreciate, like I said, I appreciate your supporting the Ultimate Fight Show.
Dude, anytime, man. I've always been a supporter of everything that's going on, man. Anything that's positive, I've always been a supporter.
I remember telling my co-host, Larry Cassano, he's like, we're getting listeners from the Middle East. And that was at a time where you were doing contract work over in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's our boy. And you called into the show a few times. Like, yeah, that's our boy, Isaac.
Yeah.
He's making it happen for us.
Well, the thing with Kuwait, man, and BJJ and mixed martial arts was that was a new thing over there. And And they had been to Dubai a couple of times, and it was picking up steam, and a couple of people would open up gyms here and there, but it would never really amount to anything. You know, some gyms had closed, but when the Ultimate Fighting show and then your podcast came out, and guys I had been working with, man, they were like, hey, do you know about this podcast? And I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, I know about them, you know. I used to work with Chris, and we used to talk about fights all the time, and I would get them to try to share your podcast in Kuwait I used to try to share your podcast in Kuwait because in Kuwait, it wasn't light, man. It was barely gaining traction. They were in Abu Dhabi. And that was a complete different country. And the way Kuwait and Saudi and Bahrain and all that stuff, they limit the amount of contact sports that you're seeing. So when I was getting ready for work, you guys were watching the fight live. I was getting ready for work. And they would blur some things out and they would take some things out. I'm like, God, man, how is the UFC or mixed martial arts supposed to do this out here when Kuwait is blurring things? Word of mouth. I would notice that guys would drive around in trucks, their cars, with their YouTube on, listening to music. So I'm like, man, okay, cool. Hey, have you guys heard of this podcast? Have you heard about this going on? No, we've never heard of, you know, we've heard of fighters and stuff like that, but we haven't. Hey, why don't you guys tune into this? And sure enough, man, they were able to tune in and hear you guys talk. And they would come to me.
Hey, you there? Did we lose you again?
You good?
Yeah, I can hear you. I think I lost you for a second. We bumped for a minute.
It's all right.
You were telling me. go ahead. You were telling them about the Ultimate Fight Show.
So the Ultimate, you know, I was telling them, hey, man, you heard the Ultimate Fight Show? And they were like, no. And, you know, they would come back to me a couple of days later, and they would be like, that's a good show. They know a lot. And I'm like, yeah, you know. And they're like, man, I wish Kuwait had the kind of jiu-jitsu, karate type thing, but they don't have because the government scared. And I'm like, good dude, if you know anybody, man, open your stuff. If you know anybody, open them who's willing to teach. And there were a couple of people out there, not only Americans, man, but guys from Britain, guys from Ireland who had been through a couple of schools who kind of know a little bit. And a lot of guys were taking them classes, and now I have some friends over there, and they're taking classes, and it's grown a lot in the past 10 years. And that's the thing about combat sports. I have, and I'll be honest with you, man, I have not watched it in that long. And it's because fatherhood, man, fatherhood, husbandhood, you start losing track of what things you used to watch, to where you sacrificed that time to them, and you're like, all right, so we got to do this year. We got to do this weekend. In order to keep my sanity, I got to do this weekend. Okay, how's this going on? And so I've lost a lot of track, man, I'll be honest with you. But I'm trying to get back into it. The kids are at the tail end of the high school years, to where I'm like, all right, so what can I do to make sure that daddy doesn't lose his sanity? You know, I'm trying to get off the Xbox a little bit, to where I'm watching documentaries and history and things like that. And I'm trying to get back into combat sports, man. I couldn't tell you who's who, top of the what, blah, blah. I just know Brock Lesnar, if he came back in, he'd freaking dominate the heavyweight division, maybe. Ronda Rousey, I know she would dominate the women's division. Who, I know she lost, like, maybe once or twice. George St. Pierre, I remember him coming back. Him and Michael Bisping banging it up a couple of times. And that I know, I remember then the latest thing I remember was Anderson Silva breaking his leg against Chris Weidman. And then, yeah, that's how far I've missed it. So if you're taking it, if you're tallying up, it has been a very, very long time.
Yeah, you're you're a little far behind here on mixed martial arts and the UFC and the happenings and the gatherings, but that's okay. We'll catch you up on another show. That's a whole other show in its of itself. But you've got a couple of things going on right now I want to talk about before we go here. You are an aspiring voiceover artist. You've got an account now on Fiverr, and you just signed up to start your own podcast, which I hope to be a part of as well. But tell us a little bit about that. Tell us about your voiceover antics.
So my voiceover antics, man, my voiceover talent, it is anybody who's looking to IVRs, which is interactive voice recording. So when you call a bank, it is press 1 for accounting, press 2 for, you know, whatever, home loans, press 3 for auto loans, that type of thing. And I've gotten a lot, you know, I've gotten some, but most of my picks have gone from advertisement. They're at Taipei Island, Hatsushi Surf Camp Aloha. He is by far one of the most positive guys I've ever met in my life. All he wants to do is serve his community. He is surfing his entire life. He's from Japan. When he's surfing or not teaching surfing here in Taipei, he is out in his native country of Japan surfing. Skiing. Jesus Christ, really, Isaac? He is skiing. And, dude, oh my God, the Savannah River Brewery Company, thank you so much. I greatly appreciate it. There's a shout out. And guys, girls, if you like beer, if you like IPAs, go ahead and pick you some up. You enjoy yourself just as much as I have today. with that being said, man, he is the most positive, influential people I've ever met. He just positivity. He's not one of just somebody who's like, he's not one of the people that's gonna blow smoke up your ass. Like, he's really legit, nothing but positive, man. And I hope nothing but the best for him, man. So living in Augusta, I became a CO. I was a corrections officer for the state of Georgia, Augusta State Medical Prison. To where, I oversaw the firearm, the armory, the fire safety, the keys and tools control. That's what I did. And when I was out there, I met somebody who worked at Augusta University. He was an officer there for security. We went to BCOT together. He left for Richmond County. I left to become a truck driver, and had followed each other through Facebook, and he made his own company, which is called Loyal Demands. Guys, if you love jewelry, bracelets, necklaces, anklets, man, I'm telling you, this cat is something real. So if you guys go to loyaldemands.com, you will see his jewelry. And Jesus Christ, man, it's handcrafted. This cat is just something real when it comes to jewelry. And it's not overly priced, man. If you are looking for that accent on your arm, your wrist, your neck, your anklet for females, but he's got it all. That's my voiceover. It's more of IVRs, more natural conversation. Like, I'm not a character. I don't have all these characters. I mean, I laugh weird sometimes. I can do that kind of somewhat if I play with audio, but as far as storytelling, I can do some storytelling, but it's not over the top. You won't get that. You're gonna get what you get right here. It's gonna be nothing but positivity, ecstatic, and over the top. But that, and then the podcast, man, the podcast. That is where. So this whole Corona. Let me tell you where all this came from. So freaking coronavirus, man, COVID-19. I swear to God, I hate that goddamn thing. Right now, I don't want anybody to be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry, because I'm not that way. Never been that way. She tested positive a couple of days ago, and I'm laughing because I was telling her had it in February and January. What I ended up doing to help kind of with the sickness, I told her, no joke, I said, I ended up taking shots of whiskey, drinking screwdrivers, eating chicken and beef broth, and drinking Powerade. And she laughed. She's like, are you serious? I said, yeah. I said, the congestion lasted probably about 3 weeks, but the fever and the body aches lasted about 4 days. And I said, I truly hold it up to the whiskey and the screwdrivers. She started laughing. So that's when I laughed. I
like, no prescription required.
Yeah, no. Yeah, exactly, right? So so go get you some rye whiskey. Go get you some orange juice. Go get you some vodka, good vodka, and some Powerade. Sit your butt in the bed, lay your butt in the bed, and have a good time. It's the only thing I say. But my brother right now is all jokes aside, he's fighting for his life. And down in San Antonio, Texas, because of this COVID-19. I personally think, I'm not going to say it's a hype or anything. I just think it comes to basic hygiene when it comes to this, right? And this is what I mean. So how many times do we go through the drive-thru and the first thing we do is open the bag and grab a French fry?
Every time.
Right. So, So we don't put any hand sanitizer in our hands, knowing the fact that what we've touched not only could be infected, but could be hindering us. Best for us to just wash our hands, do what we need to, personal hygiene, to help spread what's going on right now. And that's the covering our mouth when we sneeze or when we cough, using our inside elbow, washing our hands, wiping everything down that we use, that type of thing. Because other than that, it's the only way we're going to be able to get away from this damn thing. Damn, man, I got off track. What the hell were we talking about? Holy shit.
You talked about Fiverr a little bit. We talked about the voiceover, and then you were going to tell me about the inspiration for your new podcast.
I love the
title of, by the way.
Yeah, so the title is The Journey of a Middle-Aged Adolescent. Now, with that Aren't being said. Yeah. So, with that being said, we're all going through a journey regardless of where we're at in our life. You could be blue collar, white collar. We all have a problem. We all have something to worry about. Middle-aged, yes, because I'm 41. My kids are at the tail end of high school. There means to where they really kind of don't need me, but they kind of do as far as what do they need to do when certain situations at work and not so much school. And then myself, man, adolescence. Adolescent is it's a term we use because it's a thing we're going through change. It's a stage in life we're going through change. If we go through our adolescent, it's a stage we're going through change. So here we are going through a stage to where we're going from our kids needs us to where our kids don't need us as much, to where we're more reliant on our marriage partner to fill kind of those gaps, but our marriage partner may not. So where does that leave us? Do we find other avenues to kind of fill those spots? Do we kind of find side hustles? Do we kind of pick up a hobby? What do we do, all right? So for me, I ended up investing some of the money. I ended up picking up the voiceover. I ended up picking up the podcast. That was a big thing because my kid's 19. He's on his own. He graduated high school already. My daughter's 15. She has her own friends. My other son is 17. He's a senior. So what do I need to do, you know, when daddy's no longer needed? And that's where I came with, middle-aged adolescent. Because here I am, you know, truth be told, I'm 41. I enjoy drinking beer. I enjoy having a nice glass of wine. I enjoy just having a damn good time. And if I get blitzed in that occasion, I don't mean to, but guess what? As part of life, we enjoy ourselves, and that's all we want to do, is just enjoy company, enjoy our lives, and enjoy everybody that is around us. And I just hope everybody has a good time, too. So with that being said, that's what I said, a journey of a middle-aged adolescent.
I love it, man. I love the idea of it. I love the, like I said, I love the title. I think it really says a lot, you know, in a few words. And I'm looking forward to hearing the first episode. Have you started recording yet, or
where are you at in
that process?
My plan with today was to record the process. However, that's the thing. Life is always going to have different plans. So with that being said, yesterday, my wife took me to Nine Line. I wanted to go to Nine Line yesterday because I wanted to try this bar of soap called Grenade Soap. Now, this company is called Grenade Soap Company. They have a Whiskey Rood, Whiskey Wood, and they have a gunpowder. So it's actually mixed with whiskey and wood, and their gunpowder, their other bar of soap is called gunpowder. It's actually mixed with gunpowder. They didn't have gunpowder. So I wanted to take a shower of the day, and I wanted to try the whiskey wood. So I was like, you know, okay, I'll lather up real good, see if I get it, blah, blah, blah. I'm good to go. And I asked my wife, she got home. I was like, hey, how's it smell? She's like, I don't smell anything. You just smell like you. And I'm like, what do you mean I just smell like me? And being Hispanic, I'm like, do I smell like tacos? Do I smell like enchiladas? What are you talking about? Do I smell like Spanish rice? What do you mean I smell like me? Because normally it's a dial, or normally it's like Niven or something like that. Something off the wall. And she was like, no, you just smell like you. I'm like, you really cannot smell like grenade soap? She was like, no. I'm like, mother lover. $9 damn. And I was like, $9 for a damn bar of soap, and you're going to tell me I don't smell like it?
$9 for a single bar of soap.
$9 for a single. But here's the thing. Like, it has a rope, but it's not like actually a rope. It's actually one of the things you get from the Home Depot that you unscrew, and you put it through a loop, and you screw it back up, and it has a metal thing, and it screws back in. You're like, okay, there. I know it's going to be there for a while. And I'm like, God dang, are you really? She was like, no. My daughter was like, no, I can't smell either, Dad. I'm like, mother frick, are you kidding me? So I was like, oh, man, maybe we'll keep seeing how it is. And the thing is, it says badass soap on a rope. We'll see if it's badass soap on a rope tomorrow morning, because I intend to use it goddamn thing until it's out. Well, it is 100% made in the U.S., it is designed to keep your trigger finger combat clean. wow. Fragrance delivered from late-night bar fights and questionable strip clubs. Wow. So, with that being said, I think that is a straight-up a journey into a midlife crisis, or midlife journey into whatever.
that's amazing. So, well, I guess at least I mean, I'd rather not smell at all than to smell bad. So
yeah, I guess, right. I mean, that's the thing though, right? So here you are, you're coming in and staggering into work. What do you rather smell like? Do you rather smell like gunpowder or whiskey wood? And I would probably rather smell like gunpowder.
I think you're back. Are you back? I think you're back.
Yo, can you hear me?
Yes.
Holy shit. My mic is out, and you can probably tell the difference in quality because my mic is out, and I'm using my XPEX headphone.
That's all right. It's all right. Before the break, we were talking about the benefits of, I guess, showering with a soap that's going to take all the odor off of you.
Yeah, so you know, like, it's like, I don't like, it's Grenade Soap Company. It's made in America. It's by veterans, for veterans. It's operated. So I was like, you know what? I'll just give it a try. Yeah. And I was like, you know, proceeds go to U.S. veterans and law enforcement. And I'm all about that. So I was like, you know what? I'll just give it a try. And yeah, like I said before, man, this thing, fragrance derived from late night bar fights and questionable strip clubs. Now, anybody's been stationed here in Savannah that has gone over the Talmadge Bridge into South Carolina, mm-hmm, you know exactly what strip clubs I'm talking about. Girls Gone Wild at the Gold Club is one.
I mean, I never went in there, but I was an Uber driver for a while, and I took many people there. Yes, that's it.
Oh, my God. I'm not going to say the memories, but I'm going to say no, but all in all, man, I try to give this soap a good, fair try, I guess, in order to actually smell it, you got to repetitively use it. So that is what I intend to do, and I will give this soap a fair review. And if it fails, it fails, and I will put it up on my YouTube channel, and that's all it is. I mean, what more can you do?
Well, Isaac, I'll tell you what, man. I do hope you continue to work with that soap and continue to shower daily at least, so that you could give us an accurate report on that. What are you planning on recording the first episode of your podcast, and where can we hear it?
So tomorrow night is when I plan on recording it, or Monday after I get home from work is when I plan on recording it. I am going to be uploading it to Buzzsprout. And hopefully I can download it to iTunes and Google Play Store. This is going to be the first one. It's going to be a pilot episode. So I'm going to see how it goes. And if it continues to go well, I'm going to keep pumping them out. And, I'm looking for a co-host maybe to try to, you know, figure out, bounce, you know, current events back and forth. Not only that, but I mean, try to go to like this week alone and trade stocks, man. It's been crazy. I have my money invested in oil, and with everything going on with countries easing up on restrictions and states easing up on restrictions, I would think that it would go up, it would spike up. However, that was not the case. So I kind of failed a little bit in my stock endeavors, but there are some companies out there who are taking advantage of this coronavirus. And that's one of the things that I talk about, not only that, but marriage advice, relationship advice, what's going on in current events, being a dad. And like we talked about today, being married, man, it has its ups and downs, along with fatherhood, because you try to disperse your time evenly, and you try to find time for yourself. In today's world, it is very difficult. So where do we need to pick up the slack as far as fathers, or as far as husbands? When do we say, all right, I need this time set aside to myself. I need this time to focus on this and whatnot, right? So that's what the podcast goes into. It goes into that. And I know it's going to be a while, and I'm in it for the long haul. If it takes 2 years to get one listener, it's going to take 2 years to get one listener. As long as I got one listener, as long as it takes that long, hey, I'm in it for the long haul, and I'm hoping that people like what I'm putting out.
Well, it won't take you that long, because I'm looking forward to listening to it, and I'm looking forward to possibly being a part of it, being a guest host, or just, you know, helping you out. Yeah. You know, if you have any questions,
no.
Once you get started, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to lend an ear and give me some advice. Not that I'm uberly successful, but I've been around the game a little bit, so I could definitely point you in the right direction.
One raindrop can start a tsunami, sir. So as long as we got one Absolutely. Raindrop, we can do things that are impossible for others. So, man, I would love to have you as a possibly co-host and bounce ideas off and just have a good time, man. And you know, you have a positive vibe. I love what you bring to the table as far as your podcast, Brag Out Loud. And even when you had the Ultimate Fight Show, man, that was awesome. I enjoyed tuning in, even when I was overseas and even when I was working with you, man. I enjoyed everything that you brought, and I always thought you had a good voice for it, and I always thought you had a good personality for it. So,
well, thank you. I really appreciate that. And yeah, there may be a new multimedia company starting up here in the very, very near future. We can discuss some business offline and see if you want to bring your show to be a part of that. But Isaac, as always, it's a pleasure talking to you. You've been a good friend for a long time. Glad we were able to catch back up a little bit. And I look forward to having more conversations with you down the road.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Absolutely, man.